2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Good evening, everybody. This is your buddy, Topicon, coming at you with the flagship DFS Army podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines. This is where Kevin, the AKA the Fantasy Football Geek, and I get together every week. We discuss the slate of games for you guys. We break them down. We get Kevin's thoughts, and we put everything out there. And I tell you what, I'm still a little bit sidetracked from a conversation Kevin and I had probably for the last 20 minutes or so ago. I want to toss it right to Kevin because he said he was very excited about this week. He was just jacked out of his mind to get into it. So, Kevin, why don't you recap last week a little bit for us? Why don't you say hi to all the good people out there, set this week up, and let's get rocking and rolling.
What's up, everyone? So, yes, I love weeks where there's a lot of value on the table. And my goodness, there's a lot of value on the table this week. So that's what kind of makes it – that's what makes it an exciting week for me because you pretty much can – this is the kind of week where you can almost ignore the salary cap. There are situations, I want to point out a bunch of them, and there are value situations on the table on all sides to the point where you really now just construct, like, when we talk about best foot forward, that's all we got to do this week. There are salary savers everywhere you turn. You can easily not spend the full cap on both sides, and I'm going to point out some of those situations. So I'm really psyched for this week. Last week was interesting. A lot of hits, some misses. And all in all, it depends on kind of which way you played the slate. I kind of thought that Brett Hundley would have a better game than he did, so that didn't work out so great for my cash lineups. And now I'm rethinking why was I using Brett Hundley in cash games? Like, maybe that wasn't the best idea on the road. So actually, it was at home, but rethinking that a little bit. But all in all, I think most of what we were on, the fade of Julio and a couple of different fades of high-owned players that I thought wouldn't work out, those fades worked. So I'm ready for another big week. And even this first game of the week,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there is the potential here for the potential all-in must-play of history. But why don't you tell us what that game is, and then we'll talk about it.
Thursday night game starts out with basically shootout potential. 53 points coming out of Vegas with a 1.5-point spread. That's what we're always looking for. High total, low spread. New Orleans goes into Atlanta now, I was curious as to how you would feel about this game because it's kind of the second chance, you know, the second meeting of the year. We're getting late in the season. It's a division rival, all that good stuff. So, and we know New Orleans likes to run first. We know that Atlanta does have some high-powered weapons. So I was actually very excited to hear what your take on this game was because I know the one thing you're not going to say is play the slate, fade the game.
No. I mean, listen, if you want to be extreme contrarian, I guess. But, I mean, there are some plays in this game that are borderline you-must-play-them kind of scenarios. And the first one is we have to monitor the Mark Ingram situation. The guy has not practiced. Now, even if he does practice, I don't know, tomorrow? I don't know when. But he hasn't practiced. Now, if Ingram somehow sits this game out, or they just say, you didn't need to practice, but we're going to play you. I mean, if the narrative wasn't already on Atlanta that pass-catching backs burn these guys, and this is a narrative that goes back for multiple seasons. They cannot stop running backs out of the backfield. I mean, hello, Alvin Kamara, the hottest player in football, taking on the team that's the worst against pass-catching running back. I mean, it's almost too perfect to the point where you almost feel like, how could it be? There will never be in fantasy football a play this perfect.
Is it $8,400 perfect on DraftKings?
Yes.
Okay. Is it $9,200 perfect on FanDuel?
Absolutely. On this week, with the amount of value available, Hell yeah. You don't have to worry about salary at all this week. There isn't even there's no one. You could pay for him, you could pay for Julio, and still field a wonderful lineup.
I was going to say, that's the misnomer with value. People think that we mean cheap. We don't always mean cheap. We mean a guy scheduled to score points, you know, for his salary that still gives you value. So it means, doesn't matter what the salary is.
100%. All it means is we have high projected players for cheap prices, and there are a few of them. There are more than a few. Some of these guys in the low price ranges could be the highest scoring of their position. The level of that is spectacular. So the creativity that you can use in building lineups this week is great. Just to get into this specific game, because I don't want to just talk full slate stuff on a particular game. So to get in this game, I mean, what else do you want? 53-point projection. Now, yeah, the Saints have been pretty good defensively, but Marshon Lattimore has been kind of hobbled. You know, he's playing, but I saw him come out of the game last week. He's questionable. You know, he's when you're a corner and you're not at full strength, you're not elite anymore. So I don't think like a corner kind of on an injury is going to be able to like shut down Julio to the point where he can't do anything. And especially since this is a home game for I just like that this is also a home game for the Falcons, because if this was a game at New Orleans, I'd kind of be like, oh, well, that defense probably step up. But because this is at the Falcons are more likely to play a little better than they normally do. And that kind of evens things out, which is why the spread is so close. High projected game, got to have exposure. I think the must play of the game is Kamara. He will be the chalk. And then, you know, you got to see who else is around. Julio and, you know, some of the Saints pass catchers, of course. Saints don't really have a tight end right now, so that guy Hill, I think, is playing. Josh Hill is playing tight end. It's not, you know, they're not throwing to him. So, you know, Michael Thomas, he's done shit all year. I don't know if he'll ever be a must play. But it's important to note also that the Falcons secondary is really banged up. So this is just going to be a scoring bonanza, I think. Or at least it has all the makings of. I'm not 100% sure that I want to play Matt Ryan or Drew Brees, and I certainly don't think they're must-plays. Although Brees has gotten to the point where he's very cheap. Both of these guys are reasonably priced, especially on DraftKings.
He's just not being used is the thing. I mean, not like he used to be.
No, they're
like
they're winning games.
$8,000 quarterback is.
They figured out how to win. They figured out the Saints would score a lot but lose. And I think they've finally figured out how to win games. So
they've got the tools to do it. They've got a couple of running backs that are pretty interchangeable and having great years. So
I think I'm going to play a bunch of lineups in the Thursday to Monday just because I want a little bit of exposure to both those games. And I like Patriots defense on the Monday. But I want exposure to both these games. I don't want to miss them. They're exciting. And Kamara is going to be my guy.
Okay. Well, let's jump down to Sunday then. Detroit at Tampa Bay. I don't have a line in this one. Is it still offline? It was earlier in the week.
Last I checked, it was still off.
I'm looking at our research station. It's got no spread, no total points at all. We do know that the secondary for Tampa Bay has typically been pretty bad. We know that the, you know, defense for the Lions has been kind of whatever. Is this an area where you see Matt Stafford being viable going down into Tampa Bay, or is this even a game you're really even all that interested in to begin with?
All right. I'm going to just – so, I mean, without knowing if Matt Stafford is healthy, it's very difficult to make a complete judgment on this game. Let's start there, right? You can't really know 100%. So if I knew he was healthy, I'd actually kind of like Marvin Jones Jr. here. I wouldn't mind Golden Tate. Like, I wouldn't mind the Detroit offense. But that mystery for this moment keeps me off of them, right? Certainly if Stafford has a busted finger of some sort on his throwing hand, like if that's what he's got, then I don't like taking quarterbacks with messed up injuries on their throwing hand. So I wouldn't use him. But I like this game because Peyton Barber is involved with this game. And the dude looked good last week. He looked good. Peyton Barber, he's your first value play of the slate. Okay, I'm going to give the numbers from Peyton Barber for last week. He started.
Give the prices, too, if you find them.
He's at 4,500 on DraftKings, and I believe in the low fives on FanDuel. All right? 21 points, 23 carries, 102 yards, not bad, at Green Bay, okay, shitty team. Four targets, four receptions, 41 yards, and that's the part that interests me.
Yep, that's what you're looking for.
If you got 23 attempts, 100 yards, no touchdown, okay, whatever. They're throwing to him? That's fascinating. Now, the second thing I look at is, are they involving any other running back, right? What's going on with Jaquizz? Well, Jaquizz, three attempts, 25 yards, no targets. Okay, so from what I saw and from what the stats told me, this guy Barber is the, getting all the touches. There are nobody else. Now, is there another guy there? I mean, am I missing something? I don't know. Let me check. I could, you never know when you're missing something. So let's see. Is there a third guy here? Who used to get the Sims? Let's see what happened with Sims. Okay. Charles Sims.
That's where we need to tag Al Walsh.
He's the Tampa Bay guy. Our Bucks guy. So Charles Sims, three attempts, two targets. Okay. All right. So basically, they gave this guy, Peyton Barber, almost a full run of the running back touches for this team. He's 4,500. That's the kind of shit that I like. He's cheap. He seemed okay. And he's not even the only one. Normally, if he was the only guy, I'd go all in. I'd be like, you know what? Screw it. For this price, I'll take 100% exposure and live or die with it. But there's so much value this week, you don't even need to do that. So, but a guy like Peyton Barber allows you to afford some other players. Now, if I knew, again, the health of Stafford, then we can make decisions on his pass catchers. Right now, we really can't, and I'm sure I won't have much of them outside of crazy GPPs, because I think that injury will keep people off of like an MJJ. And the Bucks don't present like a difficult team to throw on. It's the opposite. Right. They suck. And and Mike Evans. I feel soured on Mike Evans a little bit. The guy doesn't put up big games. He never justifies his value. He never justifies his price. I mean, his salary, I guess, is coming down a little bit, but still, all season long, this guy has not had a single game where I think he's made reasonable return based on his salary level.
He and Michael Thomas are kind of in the same boat.
100%. They're fine. They get a bunch of targets, but they've just not been delivering. And at some point, you have to say, and he can get you 22 points, but 7, 14, 21, he's a 7,000 on DraftKings. That 22 that he brings is just cash value. So is he going to get me 30 points? I mean, he could, but he hasn't passed 22 all season. So if he does, it'll be the first time. And he's right. He's going to deal with Darius Slay. Now, I just don't like those numbers. He's not a guy that I'm going to want to use a lot because he doesn't produce the way that he should be. Now, maybe he's got a healthy Winston back, and maybe this is different now because Jameis is healthy and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know how healthy Jameis is. He looked all right.
Is anybody else in there attractive to you at all?
No.
They were using Cameron Braid a lot.
You can't trust Braid. No, because him and O.J. Howard just switch off too much, so... And DeSean Jackson hasn't done well. And again, the entire Detroit offense is completely you don't know what the deal is with them. I mean, you want to use Theo Riddick? I don't. So, I mean, he's too expensive. Theo Riddick is fine, but not in a week when I have workhorses for the same salary. So, I used Theo Riddick last week and he worked out very well, but he was 3,600 and there was no value last week. This week, there's so much of it that you don't really have to use, you don't have to use a Riddick, per se. You can, but it's not necessary.
Well, you just mentioned that Peyton Barber's not that much more expensive, and he's getting a lot more of the work. So.
And there's other guys, too. I mean, Gio Bernard. Again, there's three of them this week that are, extreme running back values.
You just hinted at the next game there with Chicago going into Cincinnati. Chicago going into Cincinnati, 38-point total, 6 points to the favorite Cincinnati Bengals at home. Let's just roll right in. You mentioned Gio Bernard. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this one?
Giovanni Bernard on DraftKings this week is a frugal 3,100 salary. Okay, on FanDuel, wait, where are my numbers? On FanDuel, he
51.
Is
51.
Yeah, I mean, a minimum 5,100. So, Gio Bernard is an explosive player. So, we have to watch the status of Mixon. If Mixon come back, all bets are off. Forget it. But if Mixon is out and Bernard is going to get a run of this offense for this one game, throw out anything you see about Chicago being okay against running backs. They do much better at home than they are on the road. And I'm loading up on Gio. I mean, Gio will be an all-in lock on DraftKings for 3,100 if he's getting the run of this backfield. I don't
imagine what you could do. Imagine what you could do with a Gio Bernard, Peyton Barber running backs. Imagine what your flex would look like on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's going to look like Alvin Kamara if you're doing the Thursday through Monday slate. This is what I'm saying. The value this week is so extreme that you can use a couple of these guys and do whatever you want. And this is how I play DFS. So I don't turn down value. I embrace it. I love it. So Gio Bernard, there's nothing about the Chicago offense that I'm interested in here, but Bernard. And certainly, I mean, if you want to do a Dalton Green stack for shits and giggles and GPPs, that's something that's doable. There's nothing that stands out about Chicago's team other than that they don't score enough to really force the opposing team to push it. So, you know, it's not like a stack I'm excited for. But you know, you never know when quarterback just starts playing toss and catch with his wide receiver and all of a sudden he gets that 30-point game. Outside of that, I mean, if you wanted to get silly with Dontre, nah. There's nothing else I like about this game. I think it's the Gio Bernard game.
You know, if you were really, really desperate for value, I could see starting to look a little bit at a Dontre Inman. Nah.
But you don't need this week.
That's number one. You don't need it this week. Number two, I don't think the dude has a ceiling. So it's just not one of those things where, I mean, yeah, he's going to get you a pretty steady 10, 11 points on FanDuel or something like that. You need more than that. You need better than that out of that $5,000. You need, if you were desperate for it, that's one thing. But you'd like to see a guy that gets you that 10, 11 points but has a shot at 20. He doesn't.
Those numbers don't get you wins in daily fantasy football. Right. It's as simple as that. The 10 points that Inman has been in the league for so many years. The only reason he's getting anything is because, you know, there's no other targets on that team, but I mean, Inman's not even the number one. You know, I was watching the other day, and they're throwing to, like, some other guy, Bellamy. You know what I mean? Like, or there are a few guys on that team, and they all suck. So, hell no. And this is a road game against a quality Cincy defense? No, thank you. No, thank you. Let's move on to another game with zero.
I was going to say, no line here either.
No line.
But I can only imagine Indianapolis Colts versus Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Now, this one honestly could be a little bit of a weather watcher. So I know you're always interested in the weather this time of year and stuff, and they're talking about snow up your way. So maybe that holds on through Sunday. I don't really know. Don't really care. I don't know how much Indy sucks and Buffalo's okay, but they're not using LeSean McCoy the way I'd like to see him use him lately, or he's not producing the way I'd like to see him use him lately. So I really don't know what I'm interested in this game. Maybe you're interested in other stuff, but for the way I look at scores, the way I look at lines, and the way I get excited about players, this one really has nothing to offer me other than maybe Jack Doyle at tight end. That's about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of meh about this particular game, but you do have to watch the QB situation. It's always tough when you don't know. So, like, if Tyrod doesn't play and it's that guy who was pissing in his pants the last time he had a start, there might even be some merit to, like, rolling out the Colts defense. I mean, that guy was epically bad, like the worst quarterback I've ever seen attempt to be in a football game outside of like Mark Sanchez kind of, you know, in some of his debacle games. But I mean, 5 turnovers in the first half?
Yeah, that was something.
Those are ungodly. Those are crazy bad numbers. So like that would maybe bring the Colts defense into like some consideration. But like without Tyrod, I'd have a hard time trusting LeSean McCoy. Although McCoy's fine.
I will tell you, the research station has Nathan Peterman listed as the quarterback right now.
I can't believe he gets a 12.7 point projection in this game. Like, where did that come from? But like, how does he get to 12.7? I don't know.
They put the research station up. They left the negative sign off of it. They make you think it's positive.
Is
12
that a
points.
Minus 12.7? Really so, I mean, you know, with Peterman at the helm, yeah, there's nothing to like about this game at all. You want to play Frank Gore? Fuck that.
Right.
T.Y. Hilton in the snow? I mean, come on. So, yeah, Jack Doyle's fine, but I ain't playing him. Move on.
No, and I, yeah. That's fine with me. Seattle Seahawks go down to Jacksonville and take on the Jaguars.
Yes.
This one, low total, 39.5, but Jacksonville does have the 3-point favorite. I will say this. I mean, obviously Seattle's been playing a little bit better. You know, Russell Wilson's getting all the workload he can possibly handle. But the part that gets me is I heard some numbers today that the 2015 Denver Broncos were this amazing defense that everybody was comparing to the 85 Bears and everything else. But across the board this year, Jacksonville's defense is better.
They've been really good, right?
If you look at why, I wrote him up in the Wishbone this week as just freaking play them every week until the cows come home, because the way these guys are, they're first in points allowed, they're first in or second in interceptions, they're first in fumble recoveries, they're first in return touchdowns. I mean, what the hell else are you asking for when you want to roster a defense? I mean, geez. So I'd be interested to see how they handle Russell Wilson, but I don't know. That kind of stuff kind of is a wash when you stud on stud, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking at the numbers for the Jags defense, they're limiting QBs to the least fantasy points out of any position. They're WR1, 2, and 3, all not doing anything against them. And the only position that really has had any success whatsoever is running back.
Mm-hmm. Seattle has none.
Yes, no, yes, they do.
Oh, no.
Yes, they do have a running back.
No,
and let me tell
play.
You something. Value play number 3. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
You clearly did not watch the game last week. And I
oh,
just
hell,
busted
I, no,
you.
I didn't.
Totally busted
yeah, you did.
You. Because if you watched Mike Davis, he is legit. And he's more legit than all of these other assholes that people like Chris Carson or any of them. Mike Davis is the real deal. I don't know where this guy came from. I don't know where he's been hiding. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to read you out some numbers here. And these numbers don't tell the tale. Now, later on, we're going to have to figure out which of this group really is the best. But last week, 16 attempts, 64 yards. Okay, respectable 4 yards per carry. 4 targets, 4 receptions in the passing game. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I watched it. This dude has something. He's got some wiggle. He's got some shake. He has something special, at least to my untrained eye. He looked better out there. He was making
moves.
Just
say untrained. I finally got you busted as a talent scout.
I try. I'm not a talent scout. But I play one on the radio, right?
But stayed in the Holiday Inn Express last night.
Yes. This guy has it, and I think he's going to be under the radar one more week. Now, unfortunately, this isn't the best matchup. It's a low-scoring game and all that bullshit, but if you're going to attack the Jags, you're probably going to do it via the run, right? And, I mean, if they game plan it, I don't know how much game planning coaches do anymore. Sometimes they get too cute. They're like, oh, they're the best against the pass. Let's just go out and pass against them constantly. Or like, the Jags, their entire game plan is, we're going up against the Colts. They're the worst run defense in the league. Let's just throw 57 times, even when we're ahead. Because that's stupid. So we're going to do that to trick them, because they wouldn't think we'd be that stupid. Like,
play.
They're tricking you by playing to your strength. I mean, this is crazy. So unless they're planning on doing that, which I hope not, I would imagine that the Seahawks will come with a plan of, hey, you know, we're probably not going to have a ton of success throwing, but we'll throw to Jimmy Graham, and we'll throw to and we'll run Mike Davis up the gut like crazy. Now, this guy's an injury risk. He got hurt in his first game. So now in my mind, he's an injury risk. Like, I can't predict those things. I don't know. If he gets hurt in game, sorry. Oops. But 3,700 on DraftKings. We talk about the week of endless value. How about pairing him up with Gio Bernard? 37 and 3,100. Now who can't you afford? You can afford anyone. And there isn't even a defense to pay up for this week. So it's not like, oh, I have to pay up for this or that. There really isn't one. So the affordability factor is crazy. I like Mike Davis. I like him, I think, more than the field will.
Sounds like it, because I can tell you this. If I didn't watch the game and you busted me, you busted at least 50% of the world, because I just have that first level thinking of,
and
everybody else is still believing that too. So it's good that you share that, and it's good that you actually should have locked that up and made that VIP, man.
Damn it. Shouldn't give the shit away
thinking?
To the public.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
You know what? It's important. It's important. Sometimes it's rare that it's rare that you really can tape study and get an edge.
I missed my chance too. Instead of saying, why didn't you share it with the public? I should have said, imagine what he will share with the VIPs.
That's right. And there will be more information for them. So join up DFSArmy.com.
Coupon code 20 off.
Yeah. So anyway, I love Mike Davis. There is value in this game. Outside of that, though, I'm not messing with this game. I don't want to have a ton of involvement with the Jags offense. You know, Fournette hasn't been super spectacular anyway, and now it's not the greatest of matchups. So, you know, that's not something where I'm going to want to get involved with. I guess if you want to use Marquise Lee, sure, but I mean, I think we can find better players for different salary, GPP only. This is still Blake Bortles at quarterback, and, you know, it's not something I'm excited for. So there's just not a whole lot to like about that game outside of Mike Davis for me.
And, you don't see us playing to the over?
No.
we can say Mike Davis and just call it a day, right?
Yeah, that's good. It could happen. I mean, listen, I'm wrong a lot with the over under, but you know, no. On my list.
Yeah, play to the over. I mean, I'm thinking like 60 points, not 42, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it might beat the 39. Like, I'm not saying.
Watch it. Yeah. Watch it just go stupid high, too, and just make everybody look like an idiot. That's football. It bounces funny directions. Let's move a little further west in the center of the country. Oakland at Kansas City, another division rivalry game. And I see this is the one thing I will say. People seem to be waiting on Kareem Hunt, and they changed play callers, and they did this, and they did that, and they scored a lot of points. They still lost the Jets, whatever. DFS, I don't care. All I cared about was having both sides of that game last week. As far as Kareem Hunt's concerned, he tore Oakland up the first time they met. But the problem is, the last 4 or 5 weeks, this is a completely different team. So I still personally can't trust him, and I think people are going to be hoping that they get a flash from the past, and I just don't know if it's there right now.
Maybe I'll have a game like that before the year is through, and again, just like I said last week, but once again, I mean, you're not going to get a better matchup than being at home against the Raiders. They're the worst defensive team in the league.
Yeah, he's had good matchups already, though.
I mean, yeah, he's had a lot of good matchups, and he's blown it, I'll feel better about him if Charcantrick West is still out, because at least last week, listen, this was a perceived good matchup that technically was not as good as was thought. The Jets are a good defense, as it turns out, and they were at home, and they're good. You know, I'm sorry, but as much as you want to rip them, they beat the Jags. They ain't that bad. So now his salary comes down yet again. Last week it was $6,900. The week before it was $8,000. Now remember, I was screaming "fuck Hunt" at $8,000, right?
He's a great GPP play. There's no doubt.
Well, this is what I'm getting at. Fuck Hunt was. Why are they pricing him at $8,000? This guy does not deliver like that. But even last week, 9 attempts in a close game, 5 targets, 3 receptions. So let's say, who the hell were they? Who were they? Including, well, it certainly wasn't Charkantrick West. He wasn't there. Was it Akeem Hunt? Did they bring him in? No, they just don't run it. I don't. The team is inexplicable at this point. The way that they use the running back position, I don't understand it. And they've done this for years. I was on an island ripping Spencer Ware all last season. And then, you know, everybody's like, you're stupid. All last season, I was like, I don't like Spencer Ware. And he was just like this. He had the one big game week one, had maybe another big game week two, and then he was crap for the whole rest of the season. This has mirrored him.
I was going to say, does it sound familiar?
This year went exactly like Spencer Ware. It's like another person, but the same exact season. So, you know, I've had enough of paying up for a guy that now he's at this point exclusively a GPP contrarian play, but he's not even that because he still gets way too high ownership every week. So it's not even like really that great of a GPP contrarian play because he's always high owned. So I say fuck Hunt. And if he has a good game, good for him.
How do you feel about some of the others?
I think I'd rather have Marshawn Lynch, and I hate Marshawn Lynch. But I think I'd rather have him this week. Like, you know, he'll get a bunch of carries, and they're throwing to him a little bit.
So if he was your season-long running back, you'd take Marshawn Lynch and leave Hunt on the bench, huh?
I'm not saying that. I would play Hunt in my season-long league because it's such a good matchup. And if I made the playoff by some miracle, which I did not win my Hunt line, my team that I have Hunt in, I certainly did not make the playoffs in that one. It was the first time I've ever missed the playoffs in my friends and family league. Oh,
they've got to be excited.
Hunt and Gordon. Oh.
I can hear him right now. This guy says he owns a fantasy website. What a joker.
He didn't make it. Listen, I made the playoffs. Like, yeah. First time I've ever
done it. What a fraud.
Yeah.
Oh, what a there fraud.
We go. Well, they do say that, by the way. Though, of course. Though. Gordon's looking to be some fantasy guy. You know, you give him all this ammunition to rip it. But, yeah, brutal. Yeah, fuck Hunt. But I'd still play him in my season long, unless I had Peyton Barber or one of these other guys to replace him with. What else did I say? Oh, yeah. But this game, we're talking way too in-depth. This is going to take forever, so I'm going to push these along. Outside of that, in this game, obviously, there's a lot in play here. You have Michael Crabtree coming back. KC looks like Marcus Peters will be out. That means the turnstile that is Darrell Revis is going to be actually used in pass coverage, and he's terrible. He can't cover anyone. So Crabtree's coming back, maybe Cooper coming back. I like Carr. I like Alex Smith, Kelsey. You know, this is the Raiders. Travis Kelsey's in there. You know, the Raiders suck against tight ends. They're 27th overall. There's a lot to like about this game. This is a stack 'em up game. This is your, this could be a high-scoring bonanza type of game. And it's funny because the Raiders haven't done a whole lot on offense the last few weeks, but still, KC.
I would say it's Kansas City. It's an outdoor stadium. This weather's getting cold all of a sudden. I'd say watch the wind.
Well, certainly we have to watch the weather. I can't on Wednesday night. Predict that.
Other than that, yeah. That's just something to make a quick point of. And it's not going to take you completely off the game, but it may temper expectations a little bit. But, you know, Kansas City, they can play in the wind. They're used to it.
For a guy who can play in the wind, Alex Smith looked like shit in the Meadowlands when it was windy out. I'm just going to point that out.
Well, that's true. That's very true. How about it, as fast as you just did that one, can you do Minnesota at Carolina even faster? It's a 41-point total. 3-point spread on Minnesota's side. Ready, set, go.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, you have the Vikings, who are a very, very good defense, and the Panthers, who are a pretty good defense, facing off low totals. I mean, this is a game that you really want to get involved with. The only weakness, Carolina's been susceptible to wide receivers. So certainly Thielen is playable here. But, I mean, if you're going to put Xavier Rhodes on Devin Funchess, forget Devin Funchess, right? He's finished. You can't play him. He's not a player that's going to beat good coverage. So wipe that out. Newton is not going to have a lot to throw to in this game. Maybe Olsen, but I don't trust him. So what's to like here? Not a whole lot. I think Carolina's going to throw it to McCaffrey a ton, and maybe he'll have a good game. Certainly he'll have a high floor. He's a little spendy on the sites at this point, but you know, he certainly brings a high floor to the table, and it's a home game, so I like McCaffrey there. And on the opposite side, you know, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable playing Vikings defense here. I never like a road defense, and I certainly don't like one, you know, in sort of when Cam Newton's on the other side, he can do some damage in a lot of different ways. You know, Latz Murray and Thielen, and this isn't a game I'm going to target a whole lot of, to be quite honest. I'm going to stay away from it for the most part.
Fair enough. As I shout to the wife upstairs that, hey, we're picking up speed. We're almost done.
Well, not really.
Let's fly on to Green Bay Packers at the Cleveland Browns. And, dude, 40.5 points, 3.5 for the road favorite Green Bay Packers.
I mean, there's lots to again, talk about here. And it's, you know.
All right. Then we'll slow down for one. But I know there's others coming we're going to speed up on. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a few things to cover on this one. Actually, I think this game has some sneaky high-scoring potential. Now, I'm going to call it GPP only for the most part, but, man, Josh Gordon looked pretty damn good last week. I have to, you know, I said it was a trap to play him, and he didn't really do a whole lot with the 11 targets that went his way. But, I mean, that was a very tough matchup against Casey Hayward, like the best corner or one of the better corners in the league. Now we're talking about, or Cameron Hayward, I always forget. I think it's Casey Hayward. But now we've got the Packers, who don't have good corners at all, and the Browns are at home, and they're just going to be tossing bombs to Josh Gordon. So I like this game. I think you have to, you know, you can get Kaiser to Gordon exposure, as disgusting as that might sound.
Man, that did.
Yeah, but you can. And then on the flip side, and it's not, you know, it's tough to say it, but I mean, Cleveland stops the run, so Jamal Williams, while I'm not sure I'm going to be on him for a value play this week, his price went up, and the other guys I like better, plus Cleveland's very good against the run, but, man, to go back to Hundley, scary, but this is Cleveland.
I just threw up in my mouth twice there.
Yeah, I'm not fully suggesting doing that, but I actually don't mind Kaiser.
Hundley again.
I don't mind Kaiser Soze. And throwing to and I actually have this idea in my head that everybody will be on Kaiser to Gordon, and what if it's Coleman that comes through with the big game?
No, that'd be a contrarian play for sure.
Yeah, that'd be interesting in GPP. So, yeah, I like the Cleveland side a little bit here. Maybe they'll get their first win. Do they have a win yet?
Oh, see, I don't know. I haven't looked at the record in so long.
Yeah, this might be.
I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they have one yet.
I don't hear a lot of the news or radios doing the whole 1-15 watch bullshit like they used to do, you know, comparing them to Dallas before they picked up all their studs back in the late 80s. But anyway.
They don't want to jinx it, but, you know.
They want them to actually go 0-16.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. It's like the reverse 72 Dolphins. Anyway, San Francisco at Houston, 43-point total, 3 points on the Houston side as a favorite. What do you like here, sir?
I love here everything. What an exciting game, and it seems so under the radar, right?
It will be.
It just seems so like, it's San Francisco, Houston, pass. Well, really? Should we pass? Let's talk about San Francisco. They allow the most points to the quarterback position, or some of the most of any team in the league. Okay. They aren't good against any position either. I mean, outside of the tight end position for whatever reason. I guess because they're so bad at everything else, you don't bother throwing to the tight end.
They triple team him. That's why everybody else is open.
Something's going on there. But nonetheless, they're 30th. It's all green. So there's a lot to like on the Houston offense. I would say DeAndre Hopkins is the top play on the slate, as far as the wide receiver position, easily.
Yep.
And I don't mind Lamar Miller here.
Yep. Amen.
If Miller can stay healthy throughout this game, I think they are going to give a healthy dose of the run. Miller is going to have a good game here. So there's no Donta Foreman to steal carries. And I'm pretty sure that Alfred Blue is in the concussion protocol. So it's going to be – they're going to have to bring somebody up just to be the backup. But that's going to be the Lamar Miller show. So Miller, Hopkins, that's it. Now on the San Francisco side, what happens to Houston? They get torched by wide receivers. San Francisco has one wide receiver, Marquise Goodwin. Now, the name doesn't have a lot of sex appeal, but I'm down with Marquise this week. Down with Marquise. Yes, that's right.
He's so this close to rapping.
Well, it's, you know, down with Marquise for years, about 10 of them. Yes, I got it.
I can pull Marquise. It out of you every time.
I'm down with Marquise, man.
Awesome.
And if you want to play some Garoppolo, I get it. He didn't come through so much last week, but he will. And he doesn't have a whole lot of weapons. But you can also, you know, I like Garoppolo. I'm okay going back to Carlos Hyde if you want. But I'm down with Marquise in this game. I love Hopkins. I love Miller. That trio.
Man, I just – Garoppolo seems a little pricey still. You know, 7K on FanDuel, 5,500 on DK still seems a little high.
Shame
for him
on
to
those
me,
FanDuel people, yeah, 7K. For pricing them up like rough. That and making it difficult. But on DraftKings, that I think it's more palatable.
Well, when you've got all that value, too, it doesn't matter. You can overpay for a couple of guys when you've got all that value you're scooping yeah. elsewhere. But anyway.
But it's hard to imagine Garoppolo, you're right, putting up 30 points. So, you know, he makes for more of a value play if his price was low enough.
Cool. I'm kind of with you in that one's a little bit under the radar, though. And I love Lamar Miller this week. He was one of the guys I wrote up in Wishbone. So, nice. Anyway, Dallas Cowboys at New York Giants. Obviously, everyone knows it's a division rival. Everyone's already talking about Eli coming back and starting and how he destroys Houston or Dallas historically and blah, blah, blah. Are you buying into that? Are you going to play yourself some Eli this week?
Yeah. I think you got to play Eli here. Listen, when the coach and the general manager get fired because they benched you, then the least you can do in the next game is come out and play well.
And it's job security.
And also it's pretty common for teams. Like, you know, they hated McAdoo. The team hates him. So they did not like him. Like, they just don't like him. They don't like that guy. So, you know, when that's the case, I want to play that narrative. Now, Eli Manning, yeah. Hey, it doesn't hurt that Dallas defense is terrible. So, you know, you add in that factor, and you really have a situation where I think Eli Manning, a guy who I never, ever play, is actually playable here. Now, he also doesn't happen to have his great weapons, so don't expect a ton. This could be a game where the Giants win, but Eli Manning does not put up a whole lot. And I think for Eli Manning to have a big game, both Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram probably need to produce.
Yep.
So, again, if this was a normal week and we needed value, I'd be more excited about Eli. Like, oh, I could save money at the QB position. But in this case, I mean, we don't really need to. But 4,800 on DraftKings, again, I want Kamara. I want DeAndre Hopkins. And maybe the way I fit that is including an Eli Manning to Sterling Shepard stack.
And see, I was going to say, would you double down and throw the Ingram in there too? Because like you said, for Eli to have a big game, a GPP-winning yes. type game, he's going to need both of those weapons. So you might as well put him in there.
Yes.
If you're going to take that gamble, you might as well go all in with it.
You should build a lineup right now. Manning, Shepard, Ingram. All right, start with those three. We've got a baseline. DeAndre Hopkins. On. You've got Gio Bernard. You've got Money Savers and Mike Davis. And then Lota, Kamara. It's not hard to build a lineup when you have all that value sitting around. I like nothing on the Dallas side. Nothing.
Okay, well, that made that simple.
I might want to play Giants defense. I might. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced.
I'm still not sold on Dak being a turnover machine.
He's not. No, he's a good player. He's not a turnover. No. He's
kind of a game manager. Yeah. Zeke clearly makes him better. And outside of that, he's really not forcing the ball into too much stuff. He kind of just eats it and keeps the ball in their possession as long as he possibly can, which hasn't panned out for fantasy, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Next cool. on the docket. What do we got?
Yeah, next, Washington at L.A. L.A. Chargers, that is. 46-point total, 6 points to the Chargers. And I'm as confused about that damn Chargers backfield as the next guy. I have no flipping idea what they want to do out there.
How about just don't play them?
Yeah, that's probably not a bad way to go. Boy, that backfired this season. But you know what? These two quarterbacks are kind of interesting because when you're sitting on a schedule where, you know, neither running game is really stellar, then you kind of lean on the quarterbacks a little bit. Are you talking or thinking about playing either of those two guys this week?
I don't mind. I like the Chargers here. So, I mean, the Redskins aren't a bad defensive team. They're good, and they have good cornerbacks, especially Josh Norman. And I need to do a little more digging as far as, like, trying to understand if Norman is going to work in the slot or shadow Keenan Allen.
Right.
So that's going to be an important little piece of information to try to figure out. But, I mean, outside of that, you can't deny how hot Keenan Allen has been. The Redskins are not a formidable defense to the point where you have to run from them. So Philip Rivers at home, certainly usable in this spot. And you know, you can go back to the same stack from last week with the Rivers-Allen cash stack that we talked about. And then I don't like a whole lot on the Washington side because their offensive line is in tatters, and the Chargers have a couple of good pass rushers. So this is a team that gets to the quarterback. Yeah. And they're a good defensive team. They have good corners, and they have good edge rushers. Joey Bosa, and there's a few of them. So it doesn't make me want to get, you know, I'd actually have a difficult time starting Cousins, I think, even in season long. If this was my season long playoffs, I didn't make it because of Hunt and Gordon. Hunt and Gordon together.
I don't have to worry about it this week. I'm sitting on a bye, but
nice.
Yeah, I've got Hunt and Gordon together too, and I've got the Sean McCoy.
How the hell did you make the playoffs with Hunt and Gordon on the same team?
Oh, I've got Cousins, I've got Wentz, I've got Crabtree, nice. I've got Jarvis Landry, I've got a bunch of others that are helping out, but they've really fallen flat the last few weeks. I've been very vulnerable. I've just been lucky at this point. The one thing I will say, or that I will add in, how about that Chargers defense? They've scored a lot of points this year. They're very sneaky. They're usually a little bit underpriced. And Washington, really, they're going all the way across the country, and they got shit to play for. So I'm just wondering if they are going to kind of Cutler degaff this thing, and they might be susceptible to a little bit of
shitstorm. Wait a second. Hold on a second. The Redskins are at home here?
No, they're going across the country to visit the Chargers.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so this is a Chargers home game.
Yes, so Chargers are at home. That defense is sneaky in terms of how it scores and how well it scored the past, say, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, if you look back at their little game logs. And then you turn around and you look at the fact that Washington's got nothing to play for. They don't know what the hell they're going to do with Cousins anymore. Are they going to play him next year or not? I don't think – now, the guy should be auditioning for his next team. But I don't know if he's going to pull the old Cutler degaff is the whole point. And if he does...
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, that maybe Chargers defense comes into even more play. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cousins is prideful. And, man, I don't know what's up with the Redskins not respecting him as a franchise quarterback, because the guy is good. He's a franchise quarterback. Like, as a Jets fan, I hope that they let him go. And that will make up for the fact that my team didn't tank this season and did okay. And if we could bring in Cousins, yeah, I will take him all day as my franchise. I'll pay him and then use my draft picks to take a wide receiver, and we'll have a real team. So let the Redskins suck. Make stupid decisions.
That works.
Yeah.
Let's move to your Jets. Jets at Denver going up the Mile High. Now, okay, it's not shootout potential with a high total or anything, but there is a close spread. It's virtually a pick 'em. Can Denver look any worse?
No, I have a hot take on this game. The hot take is don't play anyone from this fucking game. No one.
I was gonna
don't
say,
play the Jets.
It's yours.
Don't play McCown. Don't think like, oh, the Denver looks so bad, they suck, and McCown's good. This is the Jets on the road. This is not a home game. They're on the road at Denver. They're not going to do well. Okay, they might win the game, but they ain't going to do it looking good. And Denver, Simeon could be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. So, I mean, I don't know what the hell is wrong with this guy and what's wrong with this team and why they can't get a quarterback. But don't play this game at all. Nothing. No one and nothing. and you will be happy that I saved you from misery.
There we go.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, this deep analysis has been brought to you by DFSArmy.com, where you can register for coupon code 20OFF and earn 20% off the VIP experience. Enter today.
Yes. Join our site where you will hear Kevin scream, "Fuck that guy, don't play him." You know, sometimes you need to be yelled at people, like in general, like, don't do that. Don't do it.
Oh, talk to my kids.
They don't listen anyway. I yell like that all day, and no one listens to me. Thank goodness for this. This place is the only place where people listen to me. I have a house full of girls. I'm the only man.
Stop asking me if you can set your sister's hair on fire. That's all I gotta say.
Even my pets are girls.
Oh, not man. A good thing. That is estrogen-laden household.
Yeah.
Let's move to get back to some testosterone and talk football. Tennessee Titans at Arizona Cardinals. Another game. I'm just going to let you take it away because I'm not too terribly excited in this one either, and you might surprise me. There's a couple times you've surprised me with being excited about something.
There's nothing to get excited about here outside of just the fact that Larry Fitzgerald has been spectacular with Blaine Gabbert. So, I mean, let's roll out some – I used a lot of Larry Fitzgerald last week. I'm going back to the well. I don't see any reason why not to. He's still relatively cheap on DraftKings. And there's no one else to throw to on that team. If you think about, Blaine Gabbert's not like a deep ball quarterback, although he's looked good. I got to say, Blaine Gabbert's looked pretty good. I mean, he's looked good. Like, I don't think Arizona is sitting here scrambling thinking, oh, we need somebody for next year. I'm thinking they think that Gabbert is going to be their starter next year, or he at least has a shot to. So Blaine Gabbert is a sneaky, sneaky, crazy – crazy GPP play. He's playable. Now, if this was a week where we needed value, he'd be even better, but he's playable. I don't have any problem. If you want to stack him with Fitzgerald, don't do it in cash, but he's playable in GPP. He's had good numbers. He's had shockingly decent numbers.
I hear you searching.
I like to actually get the numbers so that I can now say he's had good numbers, and then sometimes I'm wrong. This guy has three games. Let me just his three games. He's put up 21, 19, and then last week against the Rams, which are an incredibly good defensive team, he got you 12. So right now what's going on is this guy has had better games than pretty much every quarterback that's priced above him more often, but yet he's still being priced like the scrub of scrubs, which is weird. He put up 20 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That should be screaming value play then to you.
He is. I mean, if I needed value, I'd be more excited about him. But I certainly, if you look at Fitzgerald outside of the game against the Jags, who we knew not to play him in that game because it's the Jaguars, outside of that game, he's put up 25, 24, and 24 in Gabbert's last few starts. So, I like Larry Fitzgerald. The guy's putting up 25 points a week. That's better than pretty much everyone else. And he's cheaper than everyone else. So let's go back to the well.
There you go.
He operates in, like, the comfort zone of Blaine Gabbert. That's the whole thing with Fitzgerald.
Right.
Gabbert's not, like, throwing bombs like Carson Palmer style to John Brown or J.J. Nelson. He's throwing to Larry Fitzgerald up the middle. I love it. Do they have a running back in Arizona? I don't think so.
No. I don't even know the guy's name. Steven Anderson.
Doesn't
or something
matter.
Like that.
They don't have
that's
one.
A tight end.
No, it's
oh, that's not even a tight end. Curran, that was,
it's Kerwin Williams.
Tight end.
It's Kerwin Williams, but that's as good as not having one.
Yeah, I wasn't even gonna guess that name in a million years.
Yeah.
Let's move to Philadelphia to LA and talk about some fun stuff. LA Rams. This game actually is a fan. Should be a pretty interesting game to watch. It's got a 49-point total and 2.5-point spread for L.A. Not that that means a whole hell of a lot.
High projection. Two very good defensive teams.
I was going to say, a lot of red on this board in the DVP chart. So that it's interesting for a high projection on that.
Lot of red. Let's remember that Philly is number 4 overall, QB, number 3 against running backs, 1 against wide receivers. Rams are number 3. Basically, these two teams don't allow opposing fantasy players to play well at any position. That's what they're known for. So I think this is a play to the under game. I don't get 49-point total.
I don't either.
What I do love is the idea of watching this game because this could be a preview of the NFC Championship. Could be. One of these two teams could be Super Bowl bound. I could see it. Right? Who's better than these guys? I mean, the Vikings, maybe. The Saints, I don't know. But they're in the conversation. I could see the Rams being the favorite going into the playoffs. I don't know.
I don't want to hear none of that talk being from St. Louis, man.
How much does that burn you that like you literally live for the Rams to suck and they're playing well?
I was very much a Fairweather Rams fan when they were here. I was all on board in 99. I just didn't get into the football stuff for them because they sucked so bad towards the end. The hype didn't sustain itself long enough for me to become a true fan. So I really don't care. But to be honest with you, yeah, I'm starting to get a little bitter about it right now because I'm like, where the shit was this?
Yeah, I mean, you guys suffered, but at least you had the Kurt Warner years. Listen,
I could have been a fan, man. No, I had Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. I had a lot of good,
those are great
good games to watch. Games to watch. Like I said, I was a very fair weather fan during that time period. But
I'm from New York. I like the Jets, and unfortunately, we never had anything.
Right.
Our best year was like when Mark Sanchez didn't butt fumble one time. Like we had a whole season of Mark Sanchez where he didn't butt fumble, and we're like, finally, we're just not the laughing stock.
At least it's positive. Silver linings.
Yeah, we just weren't the laughing stock for one year because Mark Sanchez just was not butt fumbling yet.
Is there anybody best memory in that? Is there anybody in that Philly Rams game that you?
I mean, you could go back to Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's been good, and he's still reasonably priced. And certainly, you know, you never want to say no to Todd Gurley, but not really.
You kind of don't want to say yes either.
Am I going to play Todd Gurley over Alvin Kamara if I play that? Hell no, right? Alvin Kamara. So it's like. No, I mean Cooper Kupp. He's not. His salary came up a little bit. It's okay on FanDuel. Alshon Jeffrey, meh. I like how we put Jay Ajayi in the running back position for the Eagles on our research station, even though Ajayi is getting the third most carries on that team. Like, there's no running back from the Eagles that I'd be interested in. Man, so,
if there's ever been coach speak that lies, you hear that squeaky wheel of we're going to introduce him, we're going to start giving him more plays, we're going to start whatever. And that shit never panned out. I was like, damn.
But I've been saying that from day one. You know what? I'm pissed that I entered two primetime slates with the sole intention of fading Ajayi as my edge play. And this jerk winds up on both of those slates getting this one big run. He's only 9 carries, but he ends up getting one big run. And because the other running backs were so shitty that my fade didn't even give me the edge I wanted both times. And I'm like, damn it. I just want to fade this guy, and it screwed me again. Damn.
If I came to you and said that, you would tell me don't be results oriented. You made the right play.
Oh, I didn't. I don't regret the play. I was so happy as soon as those slates went live, and he was 60% owned. I'm like, oh shit, I have Ajayi full fade, and he's 60%. This is great. But you know, it just didn't. It's not that he did great. It's just the other running backs were so shitty. That, like, yeah, my guy got me a 12 and this guy got an 11, but whatever. You know, it wasn't, like, enough to give you the edge. But, yeah, there's not much to like here outside of being excited to watch the game.
Now, is the Sunday night game off of both main slates this week on both sites?
This is not the Hammer. Okay. This is no longer the Sunday night Hammer. This is now the beginning of the primetime.
Okay, because that...
You ever listen to my primetime podcast, by the way? You never have.
No, I don't ever play the primetime slate. Very, very seldom. I do when I'm sitting there 30 minutes before lock and I see your notes go into the Geek Speak channel in the VIP forum, and then it's something you say or something like that excites me, I'll be like, oh, then I'll just totally binge and I'll run in there and throw a few lineups in there and be like, ugh! But I'm never around long enough in advance to listen to the podcast and really play it. So you can fire me now. Sorry, man.
Damn it. First of all, it hurts my feelings. I'm not going to lie. Second of all, I found this crazy Czechoslovakian rap song called Primetime that I play as the opening to the little podcast I put together for it, and it's awesome. So it's worth a listen just for that.
Yeah, I'm so busted again.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the Czech song yet.
Yeah, that's how I was like, it's a Primetime.
It doesn't start off with check yourself before you wreck yourself, does it?
No,
That's the wrong spelling of the word Czech, I think.
It's in Czechoslovakian, legitimately in a different
language. I will give it a listen this week just to hear that.
Awesome. Anyway, so we'll talk about the primetime slate, I guess. This game, real quick, Baltimore, very good defense, division game, very ugly. This is a great primetime slate because fade on, fade on. Basically, we don't have to play very many players from this game. You get Collins in there. You know, obviously, Antonio Brown is always good no matter what the situation, and certainly Le'Veon Bell is always good, and he's particularly good in primetime. But you could fade them all. You don't need to, and you can't in the slate, but certainly Baltimore defense is the best defense in the league right now. I don't know how they achieve this, but this is what they are. And I think some of that has to do with their shitty-ass division and just not having a lot of good offenses in it. So but some of that has to do with that they're pretty good. Right? So that's cool. And the only people I'm interested in on the Boston side are really Collins. Like, he's been pretty good.
Let me ask you this. If you had to, because you got to play, from three different teams or something like that on FanDuel, you're going to have to take a piece or two out of this game, even if you want to fade it on that primetime slate. Who is the one piece that you would take out of this game if you had to?
Well, if you look at the slate, if you actually look at the primetime slate and you look at the running backs available, it's Le'Veon Bell, Alex Collins, and then the guys from the Patriots, Burkhead and Lewis, and, Miami doesn't have, I guess, Kenyon Drake. So, I mean, if you needed to take a guy, it's either going to be Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown.
Okay. So, knowing what you know about where the chalk is going in primetime, if you're playing a single-enter GPP, do you fade Le'Veon Bell knowing that?
Yeah. I mean, he's fadeable. Now, you don't generally want to fade too much Le'Veon Bell in primetime. But, I mean, it depends on who's available. Like, there's if you look at this slate in its entirety and you include salaries in the discussion, there's no one to pay up for. Like, who are you going to pay up for? Brandon Cooks. Gronk isn't playing.
So that may not matter. I mean, you might leave $4,000 on the table and feel fine about it.
I don't like to do the fade just for fade's sake. That is not something that I do. Like, if I'm going to have to choose between Le'Veon Bell and Kenyon Drake, I'm going to use Le'Veon Bell. Like, I can't do that, me. But I don't see a problem with it, as a GPP, smart decision, contrarian thing to do. It's just not – I'm not physically able to force myself to
That's why I ask. Yeah. That's specifically why I ask, because I am built that exact same way. And this is where, guys like me and Keith or me and Alish, would really get into arguments back and forth. I'd be like, you cannot fade that guy. I don't care if he's 100% owned. You cannot fade that guy. Oh, you have to fade him.
He's right. No, Keith is right, by the way. That argument is not true. What I'm saying is not the correct move. I would just have a hard time doing it.
That's what I'm saying. And I can't make myself do it. I get the point behind it. And we've had those arguments before where I can't personally do it, and I see why. But I mean, in this stance, it seems to me you're almost praying for some kind of a knee injury or something to Le'Veon, because he's clearly the best running back of the four teams,
or he just can't score a touchdown and he's so much more expensive than the other guy, or Antonio Brown just has a bigger game and you couldn't afford them both, so you had to make a decision. Like, all of there's a lot of factors that come into play if you're talking about the massive GPP, and I'm talking about $5 to enter, 150,000 competitors.
Right.
If you're entering that, you really do have to. Like, I don't enter that unless I'm coming in with some sort of a edge play in my mind. Like, I have to have something that gives me uniqueness. Last week, I actually did really well on the primetime slate because who the hell did I fade? I don't know. I had a lot of AJ Green and Nelson Agholor. I don't remember who else was on the slate? I guess it was Antonio Brown, and I was like, I'm just going to fade Brown, and I'm going to take AJ Green, and then you couldn't afford Alshon Jeffrey, and you know the way it worked out, I had more Aguilar, so you know that worked out well. And I also faded the running backs, and I liked Mike Davis. There was a few things about it. I liked Mike Davis last week. Now I love him. Like seeing him do what he did, I love. But anyway, back to this prime time. The game to target and the team to target is the Patriots, right? So the chalk here is the Patriots. Patriots defense, Patriots offense, and James White is no longer a factor. Rex Burkhead is the top guy. Deion Lewis is the second guy. You've got no Gronk, which means extra targets for Cooks and Brandon Cook and I don't know, maybe Hogan?
Yeah, he's due back.
Or the running backs. Whatever it is, I mean, it's the Dolphins and they suck. On the flip side, as good as the Pats defense has been the last few weeks, and they're very, very good, I don't think they can fully shut down I'd like to have a piece of some of the Dolphins players too. So I mean, Kenyon Drake, Landry, and maybe Kenny Stizzles. Maybe, and then you know, looking at the slate as a whole, I haven't really made lineups for it, so it's hard for me to like get an idea in my head of how to piece it together. But that's something I'll do more later in the week when I do that VIP podcast for the for the team.
Awesome. Any of them in play in the Thursday through Monday slate?
I think you don't need anybody from this.
Would you take any Steelers?
No. Okay. Not a chance. I would play Patriots players.
So.
But not okay. The Steelers. I don't mind Brady to Cook. I don't mind Burkhead. But again, it's hard for me to pay up massive salary, relatively speaking, for Burkhead when you can get so many other better guys for cheaper.
I would say with an 11-point spread, that defense of the Patriots is in play the way they've been playing too. Maybe not the top play or even the top two plays, but I would say they're somewhere in that third, fourth, fifth choice. That spread is just begging to play a defense. The other thing that I would say is it seems like, in a nutshell, this scenario, the way this slate has gone, the way we've talked about it, we were very, very heavy on that Thursday game. So if you're playing the Thursday through Monday, it seems like it's one of those where you really sack up early and just freaking sphincter it the whole way through, hoping that nobody catches you late. Because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of options late.
No, and that's the whole thing. So you really have to I'm not somebody who believes that you need a, quote, Sunday night or Monday night hammer or anything. So listen, it helps when you're behind and you're trying to catch up, but hey, shit, you know, if you're in first place, there's no statistical relevance to it. So I don't think you force players in from the late game, outside of for the fun of wanting to watch the late game with the sweat going. Like, there's no worse sweat than the one where you're just hoping no one scores. That's not even a fun way of watching football. Like, I've done that so many times. It's brutal.
Oh, it's a sphincter spot, man. You sit there and you just squeeze.
What knocked me out of that fantasy league was, or out of the playoffs, it required like a 35-point performance from Le'Veon Bell last night. And I'm watching the game like, please. No.
No way.
Not that last drive that always burns me with Bell.
We had a similar sweat going, only on different players. I needed 5.4 points out of Juju, and he was going to bump another guy into a tie with me. He was going to cause a guy to lose, which would drop him into a tie with me. I had the tiebreaker, and then I ended up getting the bye in our league for the playoffs. And I wanted the bye because my running backs are such shit that I want one shot at the money instead of two.
Were you able to pick up Barber or any of these guys on waivers? There's such a waiver crew this week.
No, because they were all scooped because I have like the 12th priority. I couldn't get any shit going.
Yeah.
So, but that part was brutal. But the funny part was you had the sweat going anti Le'Veon Bell. I had the sweat going anti Juju. Juju got 5.6 points or some shit at the very, very end there because they went into overtime, got one more reception, and I was just elated. I was like, yay. I've never rooted for a guy so hard in my life.
I just want to say about Juju Smith-Schuster's hit last week.
Please.
You know, I didn't like the you got knocked the fuck out Smokey from Friday routine that he did after the hit. But
not me either.
I thought it was a good hit, and he impressed me as a player. It was very different from the sort of what Gronk did, which was clearly like,
oh, that was bullshit.
Yeah, like kind of like not cool.
He, dude was out of bounds. He fell on him. He leaned on him with his Barry Bonds like elbow brace to try and drive his.
I liked it. But I actually liked it.
It burned me on Gronk a little bit that he would pull such a cheap shot. But
he just got frustrated. Listen, I understand.
Juju's was an absolute square up, just smoke your ass right in the middle. And that's the way we were taught to play football. And I know that's not the way it is anymore, but I thought the exact same thing. And I was chanting it on Twitter. I was like, that hit was fine. The taunting afterwards was Bush League and bullshit.
I didn't like the taunt, but I mean, he didn't know the player was in. He didn't know.
The hit's fucking clean. Man.
I had no problem with it. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's a popular opinion, but since we're at the end of this pod anyway, and we can just talk shit about like a regular topic, I thought it was great. Juju Smith-Schuster has impressed me as a football player. I think you don't see a lot of wide receivers who can lay a hit like that, and he did a second one in that game too. He's a very tough dude. He's kind of awesome, and I think he's going to be a star.
I hope so.
Heard it here this week. Juju Smith-Schuster, potential star, future star. And, all right, you might say, well, everybody knows that. Okay.
Yeah, and you heard you've got to sign up for the VIP player contest so you can get the Czechoslovakian rant.
If you want to hear my primetime breakdown, which is the intro introduced by a crazy Czechoslovakian rap song called Primetime.
I'm so blown away there is such a thing.
I've been saying a few times this week, if you use the old Google machine, there's very little that you can't find out there. I googled rap primetime, and this is what came up. And then I listened to it, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the stuff right there.
When I really go digging into Google, I find dark holes of the universe nobody wants to talk about.
You should never be allowed to access the Google machine. As a matter of fact, I'm going to write an email or something to your wife to tell her to shut down the Google machine.
I tell my wife I only Google for the articles. That's it.
Yes. Oh, my God. All right, let's end it here. Good stuff. Listen, everybody, I'll be back, like I said, on Friday for DFS Army VIP members with – the VIP podcast where I go player by player, position by position, all in plays, really get down with strategy for this slate. And then again on Sunday, as usual, for my – if I have any notes, they'll be posted in our group Slack forms. If you're not a member of the DFS Army, I don't know why you are waiting. Get in. We're crushing NBA. We've had a great NFL season. We've got a $100,000 winner. $150,000 winner, a $50,000 guy. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The power of the Domination Station Optimizer is ridiculous.
That's great.
Our advice, having people to bounce ideas off of, the constant, a bunch of really sharp, smart players who play for a lot of money every single week, including myself. Look me up on Roto Grinders, ranked in the top 100 just about every sport. Number, I think, 62 overall in the welterweight division. You know, number 207, whatever it is. I play a lot. I put my money where my mouth is. I am giving you plays that I am personally using. And that's how we roll. This is what we do. No one does it. No one does it like it. So get in there. DFSArmy.com.
Yep. Coupon code 20 off.
20 off, right? Don't give out the coupon code, man. Pay full price. Hey, hook me. Damn.
Yeah. I'm a company man, but I'm doing it through Volume Brother. Friends don't let friends pay retail.
Oh, man. All right.
I've fired myself 3 times on this podcast.
All right, guys. Man. Well, I'll see everybody later. And Chop, I will see you next week, my man.
You got it, brother.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. today. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.